The very first thing I would like to ask of all of us is to kneel down and say a prayer for three people. For Mr. Manny Gomez, who comes to our 6 o'clock mass here. For the little Ann Claire, the little Patterson baby, who I understand is back in critical care in the hospital. And for Mr. Edward Peterson, who comes to our Birmingham chapel. He's having a serious operation tomorrow. Please let us kneel and say a prayer for these people and for all the sick.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
And in case any of you are not yet aware, the Blessed Sacrament is temporarily not on the high altar. It's over here in Our Lady's Chapel. So when you come into the church or leave the church, you bow to the crucifix. Also, next Saturday is the first Saturday, and next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, so there will be no Mass in the Birmingham Chapel. Also, in spite of what the bulletin says, because so many of the children are missing, I will not have the First Communion class today. I'm sorry. And we also won't be able to have it the following Sunday because I won't be here. We'll just have to make up for it some way later. The letter of the law killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. As you have been reading in the bulletins over the past several years, and hearing from the pulpit, especially from Father Abbott, this tendency to following the letter of the law has become a very rampant disease among us traditionalists. And if you look on the back of the bulletin today, where it says, literalism is killing the Roman Catholic traditional world. Literalism is just another way of saying the letter of the law. It says, black, therefore everything is black. There's no gray, according to literalism. But my dear people, if there were no gray, would any of us still be alive, judging from the way God treated the Old Testament people? In the Old Testament days, when God said, don't touch the ark, and someone touched it, that was the end of him. Or when a whole people or a whole nation disobeyed God, they were destroyed utterly. Man, woman, child, beast, and buildings. But at the advent of the New Testament, When the lady caught in adultery, or the woman caught in adultery, was brought to our Lord, what did he do? Did he strike her dead? He should have, according to the letter of the law. But no, he forgave her. In fact, what were the words he used to hit her accusers? Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. The tendency among so many of us traditionalists is to apply the letter of the law to everyone around us, to judge everybody by the letter of the law. But when the shoe is suddenly put on the other foot, and we're being subjected to that law, oh my, how do we change the law? We tend more to go to the Spirit then, for us. My good people, I know this is said over and over to the point of nausea sometimes, but our Lord is the best example we have that we must follow. We're looking around to countless books, countless sermons, countless videos, countless you name it. We're looking for example, for teaching, for instruction. And yet we overlook the main instructor, the main example. And that's our Lord himself, in his human nature, not in his divine. We cannot imitate the divine, only the human. Our Lord put aside all his divinity during his public life, except for the miracles, of course. But as far as strict living, from his birth through his public life, with the exception of the obvious miracles, he lived without the aid of his divinity. He had to fight temptations as we have to fight them. He suffered hunger as we suffer hunger, and cold, and heat, and disagreements, and arguments, and belittlements. His own apostles and disciples turned against him, and at one point they all left him. And yet, we go looking for a better example than that. I think it's because we have trouble seeing his humanity. When we think of Christ, we automatically think of him on a throne in heaven. We forget about his life on earth. And it's that life on earth we must imitate and follow. One way of following that life is to make use of all the disagreements and the sufferings and the little chastisements and the big hurts and the little hurts that come our way. How often when we are contradicted or don't get our way, or a beloved one dies, or we lose a favorite pet, or work doesn't go well, or we lose our job, or a home, or go hungry, or come down with cancer, or whatever it may be. How often do we waste those countless precious gifts? And they are gifts, if we only look at them in the right light. How often do we not properly use those gifts? By suffering against our will, so to speak, by resisting them, by complaining about them, by crying, why me? My good people, our Lord can no longer suffer. But he requires of those who can suffer, namely us, the human race, to fill up, as St. Paul says, what is yet wanting in the sufferings of Christ. How many times do we let a slight or a hurt go by without offering it to our Lord on a silver platter, gladly saying, "Here, Lord, I give this to you. Now, it's perfectly right to say, I give this to you for a certain intention or a certain person or whatever. However, why don't we go all the way and say, Dear Lord, I give you this hardship or this suffering to do with whatever you want. Let him have complete freedom with us, each one of us, and our suffering and our offerings. Christmas is coming, and it's not too early to start collecting these little gifts to give back to God. These little sufferings, these little temptations to impatience, to anger, to whatever. We can even offer our resistance of the temptations, our fighting, our picking ourselves up after we fall. All these things we can offer to our Lord. But do we? Because every time we let them go by, or we resent them, or wish they hadn't come, we're wasting a precious gift that we never will get again. Once that particular gift is gone, it doesn't come back. Besides, God is not stingy. And when we give to Him, His infinite love demands that He gives back. Have we ever stopped to think that maybe the reason we complain so much that God isn't answering our prayers is maybe we're not giving Him anything in return? We're so busy saying, "Give me," but what do we give Him? All we have to do is let our love for God look around, and it will find countless little gifts for our Lord, especially for Christmas, and thanksgiving for all He has given us, and all He is giving us, even today, in spite of the dark outlook all around us. Because if it wasn't for Him, not a single one of us would be here. May God bless us all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.